Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, open with me to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew chapter 27, we'll begin in the 11th verse. Matthew 27, 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "You said it." And when he was accused of the chief priest and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Don't you hear how many things they witness against you?" And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom would you that I should release, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Which of the two will you that I release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." The governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, how we thank you for each person that you have brought here today. I pray that you would meet each of us in our hearts and draw us closer to Jesus than we have ever been. Let us know more of you, more of the sacrifice that you gave for us. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus was taken to trial. If you were with us Wednesday night, we went through part of that trial. It was the religious trial. Jesus had a trial before the Sanhedrin, the 71 rulers of the Jews. It was a completely illegal trial. It was illegal because it was at night. It was illegal because they were supposed to wait 3 days before they cast judgment. It was illegal because they were supposed to wait and fast and pray before they condemned anyone to die. And yet they moved ahead in spite of their own laws, and they charged Jesus. They charged him for the crime of blasphemy. And then because of the day, they would not put him to death. They wanted a Roman to try him. They wanted to get the blame off of themselves, and they moved him to Pilate, the governor of the area. Pilate. Pontius Pilate. For years, people said there was no such person. For years, they said the Bible can't be true because Pilate didn't exist. He was never a part of the Roman government. And yet, this last November, I stood by a stone in Israel that had Pilate's name on it as the proconsul of the area or the governor of the area. So there's archaeological evidence that Pilate not only existed, but he served as the governor of the region. This same Pilate. He had quite a story. He didn't start out as being a somebody. He started out his life as a slave. After a period of being a slave, he moved into battle. He found himself free of slavery. He became a soldier, and from there, He sought ways that he could elevate himself. Well, in Rome, if you want to elevate yourself and you come from nothing, then you need to tie yourself to someone who comes from something. And so he married very well. He married a relative, a close relative of Caesar. And so Caesar appointed him to be the governor over Israel, a great appointment. Israel had become one of the best seaports in the land. Israel was where the trade would come and go. And so having a control over that area was indeed a place of prestige, even though it was a pain. It was a pain because you had to put up with the Jews. And nobody liked putting up with the Jews. But Pilate was there. Pilate did many things that irritated the Jews further. They didn't like that they were under Rome, and so they tried any way they could to upset the Roman Empire. Pilate liked very much that he was an emissary for Rome, and so everywhere, all in the cities, he put the insignia of Rome. To make it even worse, he posted soldiers, and all of them on their shields had the insignia of Rome. And every time the Jews saw that insignia, it caused them to have great anger. He made it even worse. If you really wanted to make the Jewish leadership mad, touch their money. Jesus discovered that when Jesus went into the temple and turned over the money changers' tables and challenged them for turning the house of God into a den of thieves, they turned to want to kill Jesus. Pilate sees part of the temple treasury. And he built with that temple treasury an aqueduct. I had the pleasure of standing by the aqueduct he built. Part of it still standing. Pilate didn't really need another bad report from the Jews. He, in this scripture, is a judge. He is standing judge over Jesus, but the true judge in the room is not Pilate. The true judge in the room is Jesus himself. God has appointed a day when Jesus will judge all mankind. Jesus will be the one that judges whether people go to heaven or people go to hell. Jesus will be the one that determines your righteous standing or your unrighteousness. Jesus will be the one that allows you to enter into glory or not enter into glory. And we know that Jesus is the judge by the fact that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. You cannot be neutral about Jesus. The world wants to cast him aside, and yet the world is going to have to deal with him. And the greatest favor you can do to anybody you know is to get them to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Give them an opportunity to receive Jesus or reject Jesus. Give them that chance by which they might come to know him as Savior and Lord. We will have no better opportunity than this very week as we move toward Easter. When people's minds are already on Jesus, this is the time to talk to them about who Jesus actually is. So Pilate had to make a determination. We see Pilate's consultation. Pilate realizes this is a difficult matter. He knows that the Jewish leadership is very much against Jesus. But Pilate understands the law of his day, and he understands what is right and what is wrong. He has the power in that region to set Jesus free. He has the power that the Jews cannot stand against. He can allow Jesus to live or sentence Jesus to die. Now, it doesn't take him long to realize he's not going to get any honest answers out of the Jewish leadership that bring him in. So he deals with Jesus directly. He asks Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" At this moment, Jesus can end his case. If he says, no, I am not, Jesus goes free. But that's not how he answered the question. You see, the Jews had come to that point and they had sentenced him with the crime of blasphemy. Blasphemy. When they come to Pilate, they don't give that as their charge. When they come to Pilate, they don't say that he has spoken blasphemy, which is what they said in 2665. They found Jesus guilty of blasphemy, but they knew that Pilate wouldn't be concerned about blasphemy. That's not a charge you can make in a Roman court. So they do something else that is unthinkable. They change the sentence. They change the crime. In doing so, they abolish their judgment completely of blasphemy to death. And they charge Jesus with a charge that Pilate would care about. They charged him with setting up a throne against Caesar. That is treason. Now, anybody would know that the penalty for treason is death. And so they conspired to set forth a charge that could only result in Jesus dying at the hands of Rome. Blasphemy. Well, let me tell you why Jesus was not killed under the charge of blasphemy. You see, if the Jews had charged him and the Jews had carried out their judgment, they would have done it by Jewish principle. And Jewish principle was to stone someone to death. You will know that later the deacon Stephen was stoned to death by a Jewish court. Jesus could not be stoned to death and be the Messiah. The Bible predicted in Psalms 22, they pierce my hands and my feet. It is a clear prophecy of the Messiah's death. And it was a death in which the hands and feet would be pierced. Now, the strange thing about that coming from the psalmist is in the days of the psalmist, there was no execution that pierced the feet and hands. So rabbis didn't really know what that referred to. But in the days of Rome, it was very clear what it referred to. You see, God knew everything that was going to take place, and God ahead of time said that Jesus would die by crucifixion by outlining things that would happen in a crucifixion. There would be no other type of death that would gel with what the Scripture says. If Jesus had been stoned to death, that would mean one of two things. Either the Bible is incorrect, and therefore cannot be trusted, and if it cannot be trusted, you cannot be saved by what it says. Or, Jesus is not the Messiah. But Jesus was not stoned to death. Jesus was killed by a form of punishment that did not even exist when the psalmist wrote, and on the cross, his hands and feet were pierced. You see, Jesus is exactly who Jesus claimed to be. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Almighty Christ, the Anointed One. So Pilate looks at Jesus and he just says, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus says, it is as you say, or yes, I am. Yes, sir, you got it right. That's who I am. You can crown Jesus king today. You've got to make him king of your own life, king of your own heart. For really, you are the only judge that will put Jesus in the right place in your own life. Where is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? It's a decision that we all have to answer. In verse 12, the chief priests and the scribes accused Jesus. They just shouted out all kinds of vile things against Jesus, and Jesus just stood there. He did not say anything to them. Can I tell you that sometimes the best thing to do is to keep your mouth shut? And in fact, if we would learn when to shut our mouths, it would help us a lot. Jesus did not talk. He did not answer their vile statements. He did not answer their vile accusations. Indeed, his silence stunned Pilate. This is not how most people reacted. In fact, Pilate turned to Jesus and said, "Don't you hear their accusations?" And Jesus said not a word. Well, that's from prophecy too. Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." Pilate expected Jesus to do what everybody else did when they were in that position. You see, anybody in that position was on their way to die. And so most people in that position would shout out their innocence. They would proclaim it. They would scream at it. They would plead for their life. Jesus did none of that. They would blame somebody else. I mean, my goodness, it would be easy for Jesus just to say, "Hey, you hear these turkeys, are you going to believe them?" But he didn't. We often blame others. As we saw Wednesday night in our study, that's a common thing in the Bible where people blame others. It starts out in the Garden of Eden. There Adam was and there Eve was. They had sinned against Almighty God, and God comes and they answer to God. And what do they do? Well, Eve says right away, "It was the serpent that told me to do it." In other words, not my fault, it's that snake. Adam says it was that woman. Men have been using that excuse for years. It was that one. "And by the way, God, you gave her to me, so it's really your fault." Well, that didn't fly very well. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. We are all personally accountable for our own decisions, for our own lives, for our own sins. Listen, how much better it would be if you know that you're a sinner, that you come before God and you ask Him to forgive you for your sin. Because He is willing to meet you and He is willing to forgive you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent of the charges. So we move to Pilate's confrontation in verse 15. At the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner who they would. He knows Jesus is innocent. He wants to be free of it all. He actually wants to do the right thing. But he's got to do it in a very careful way. Why doesn't Pilate just do what he knows is right? Wouldn't that make it easier? Wouldn't that just make it a whole lot easier if he just said, "Hey, I know this man is just. I know that you people are not. I'm going to stand with him." What you may not know is Pilate was suffering from a disease. It was a contagious disease. It's the disease that is around today. And you probably have heard of some people or know of some people who have it. It's called politician's disease. People that have politician's disease can only make decisions by which way the wind is blowing. And so they have to wet their finger and stick it in the air and see where the wind is blowing, and then they know which side to get on. If you are aware that some politician has politician's disease and they are making judgments based on the wind, may I ask you to stir up the wind? It is incumbent upon us that stand for what is right and stand for what is in God's word that we create enough wind so a politician will know which way to go. But wouldn't it be great if we could put people in office that did what was right because it is right? Not because they're looking at the next vote, but because it is the right thing. You know, that's how my mama and daddy taught me to live. You do the right thing because it's right. You don't do it because of what somebody else does or does not do. You do it because it's right. And that's how we should live. There was a custom, and Pilate, being in the area, knew the custom. He was very aware of it. At the time of the feast, by the way, Pilate did not live in Jerusalem. Too many Jews there. Pilate lived in Caesarea by the sea. He had a great palace there. And he was there on the Mediterranean. It was a beautiful place. And that's where he stayed most of his days. He only went to Jerusalem when he had to. The feast time was the time that he had to. And so he went to Jerusalem, and he's in this situation. And he has an opportunity now to set somebody free. That's what you do. You let the people choose who they want to let go free, and you let one go free. Now, in the prison at that time, he was fortunate because he had somebody that was a bad guy. He had Barabbas. Everybody knew Barabbas. Everybody knew that Barabbas was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a revolutionary. Barabbas was everything and worse that they accused Jesus of. Pilate figures, in a reasonable world, that he gives them the opportunity to choose this Barabbas or Jesus. They would choose Barabbas. You got a murderer, you got a thief, you got a revolutionary, or you got a guy that healed the sick, made the lame to walk, and brought people back from the dead. Which one are they going to choose? Whom will you that I release unto you? Now, Pilate lets them think about this. While they're thinking about this, he gets a note. His wife breaks through. Now, this tells us that Pilate is not as dumb as he is in other areas in this area. Because when your wife calls, it's good for you to listen. And so he checks in with his wife. She says, don't have anything to do with this just man. Just man. Claudia Procula, his wife, Caesar's close relative, says, I have been troubled in a dream and I have realized this Jesus is a just man and you need to stay away from him. You need to not have anything to do with being against him. And so Pilate thinks he's in a pretty good place. He's taken the actions that he thinks he can take that will certainly let Jesus go free. What he doesn't know, what the scripture reveals, is that while he was getting the message from his wife, the Jews were circulating among the crowd. And they were telling the crowd how evil Jesus was, how important it was that they let Barabbas go free. They were telling them such things as Barabbas will stand against Rome and give us a victory. They were peppering their minds with falsehoods so that the crowd would turn against Jesus. By the way, in present day political situations, it has become very popular for people to talk against other candidates, peppering with all kinds of falsehoods, instead of talking about the issues at hand. Challenge people to talk about the issues at hand. Pilate comes back and says, who would you that I have go free? This just man, Jesus, or Barabbas? They said, give us Barabbas. If you could see Pilate's face, his jaw would have dropped. He would have been stunned. He could not have foreseen this happening. If there was a man that he wanted killed, it was Barabbas. So personally, in his world, this is not going well at all. He says, what evil has he done? What do you want me to do to him? Crucify him. Why? He could not imagine any reason that Jesus should be crucified. Why doesn't he stand up for what's right? Pilate's question is the question of life. What would you that I do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? You've got to answer that question. You've got to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. You're either going to follow him as Lord or you're going to reject him. Now, I hope God has brought you here today so that you will say, yes, I want Jesus as my Lord. And I hope everybody that leaves here today will leave here with Jesus as their Lord. If that's not true for you, you have an opportunity right now in just a few moments to walk down an aisle and to invite Jesus to be in your heart, your Savior and your Lord. And I pray that you will do that. Pilate gives them the opportunity. The crowd calls for Jesus to be crucified. And then we see Pilate's capitulation in verse 24. When he saw he could prevail nothing, when he saw he wasn't going to get a way to work out where Jesus could go free, when he saw that the crowd was too much against him and he was going to just go with the crowd, he asks for a bowl of water to be brought, and in front of them, he washes his hands in the water as a way of saying, I wash my hands of the matter. Take Jesus, do with him what you will. There are legends about Pilate. It is said from that day that he was compulsively washing his hands, that everywhere he went, he was going to a basin and washing his hands and continually just trying to get rid of the stain of the blood of Jesus that was on his hands. Pilate was responsible for his actions. He couldn't pass the blame on to the crowd. What he decided was his decision. You are responsible for your actions. You can't pass the blame on to anyone else. What you decide to do with Jesus will be your decision. And you will be accounted for by that decision. Pilate has declared Jesus is innocent, and then he condemns Jesus to die. In verse 26, and when he had scourged Jesus, they took a whip and they plowed the back of Jesus. This is what the scripture says in Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. When they beat Jesus, they were beating him for my sins and for your sins. It wasn't for his sins. He didn't have any. They put thorns on his head. When we went to Israel, we went to a place called Antonio's Fortress. Antonio's Fortress is where the Roman encampment would be. It was by the temple, and it's where the Roman soldiers would encamp. It was the place that the governor held court. And you can actually go down the stairs. It is in a convent. You go down the stairs in that convent, and you find yourself on the floor where Jesus was judged. And the Romans had etched into the floor something called the Game of the Kings. And there they have diagrammed on the floor how someone would be taken, how they would be beaten, how they would be brutalized and then carried away to die. There outlined is what took place to Jesus in that spot. And we saw the etching on the floor. And we knew we were in the place. And they took Jesus out from there to the cross. They spit upon Jesus. They mocked Jesus. He is Almighty God. And yet they humbled him to the cross. He could have stopped it. He had the power to stop it. He had 10,000 angels waiting to stop it. He could have just said he wasn't the King of the Jews and stopped it. But he didn't stop it. Jesus was willing to be condemned so that you and I might be saved. And they took nails and they drove him into his hands and they drove them into his feet. And they put him on that cross where he stayed until he said, "It is finished." In that moment when he said, "It is finished," he was saying, "I have paid the price. I've covered your sins. I have done everything necessary for anyone to be saved that wants to be saved. Anyone that will accept me, anyone that will receive me can be in my eternity." And Jesus breathed his last. They took him away and buried him in a borrowed tomb. That's what happened to Jesus. Now, Pilate made the wrong choices. What about you? What are your choices? You see, every day you make decisions about whether you're going to have Barabbas in your life or you're going to have Jesus in your life. Every day, are you going to go the devil's way or are you going to go Jesus' way? That's true for lost people. That's true for saved people. This week, you will have an opportunity to either stand up for Jesus or to cower away. You will have an opportunity to put the question to people of who Jesus is and to give them an opportunity to come to know Jesus, to invite them to God's house, to invite them to hear the gospel, to challenge them with what you have already received. Don't miss the opportunity. Pilate missed the opportunity. You don't have to. Now, if you are here and you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, we invite you, we challenge you, we beg you. Come forward and just say, "I want Jesus." We will pray together. He'll come into your heart. You will receive his forgiveness today. And if you are a believer, don't choose Barabbas. Choose to stand up for Jesus. Choose to let others know of Jesus. Choose to do whatever you can do to get in the way of people going to hell. Stand with Jesus today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask now that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this very moment, there are some that do not know you, and they know they need Jesus. They know they need to accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I pray, God, that you would give them the courage to step out, the courage to come forward, to say yes to Jesus. Father, you have brought them out in the storm that they might have the opportunity to be saved forever. Let them come. For believers, Father, that we would not let the opportunity to serve you go by, that we would choose Jesus, that we would stand for you. Guide us now, Father, the decisions we need to make in this moment. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing?